In everything by prayer is the title of our sermon, taken from Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 17. The powerhouse of the church is the prayer meeting. It is there at the throne of grace that we obtain mercy to find help in time of need. Not just the corporate prayer meeting, but the private prayer of each individual of thy people. Prayer is power with God. The Apostle Paul said these good words to encourage the Christian going through life. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Give your worries and anxieties and burdens to the Lord, and He has promised to take care of them." And the Apostle Paul also says, "Do not forget, let all your prayers be made with thanksgiving. Would God not answer your prayer? Surely He would. Do not forget to thank Him. Be a thankful Christian." The psalmist says in Psalm 13, right at the end of the psalm, he was struggling with something that has happened in his life, a challenge that is before him, and he could not overcome. And he was praying, and he was getting impatient, but he rested in prayer with the Lord. And this was the outcome of his prayer. Psalm 13, verse 5, he says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because He has dealt bountifully with me." His prayer was not answered yet. His problem seemed to be still there, but God has given him faith in his heart to know that surely in the mercy of God, his prayer would be answered. Dear friends, do you call out to God and ask God for mercy and to trust in the mercy of God? God's mercy never fails. God will help. And He rests in thanksgiving to the Lord. And so, we are to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding, the Apostle Paul says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The early church faced countless persecutions, violent opposition to her existence. If you are a Christian in the early days of the church, life indeed hang on a thread. And we see the precarious nature of the church in its infant state. But we also see that the church of God is a supernatural body endued and protected by the power of God from on high. Now, this is the thought that we want us to think about. That you are a special people, a protected people. And we will see this enacted, dramatically portrayed as the power of God was unleashed to ensure the success of the church and its mission despite violent opposition. God directly intervenes, our text tells us, to send an angel to free the Apostle Paul from his imprisonment. And you know what happened? The king who imprisoned the apostle, he died. God judged him. What a terrible way to die. This was the man whose family has traces of evil that has plagued and caused much harm to the people of God. You recall Herod the Great, when we first began the study of the Gospel, he murdered innocent children in Bethlehem in order to oppose God's work. He saw that there is a child who would be the king of Israel, going to be born, and he thought that it would be a threat to his throne. And so he began this murderous act of killing young babies. And this murdering trade, this murderous tirade continues. This is now many years later, 30, 40 years later, since the birth of Christ. He lived 33 years, and now it's 10 years since Christ's ascension. So about 40 over years from the time of Christ's birth, the persecution has not stopped. The people of God continue to face great opposition to their faith. Three thoughts that we want to consider as Christians living in an unchristian world. 3T, 3P. Tribulation, tranquility, triumph. Verse 1 to 4, 5 to 7, 8 to 17. Or problem, prayer, peace. Verse 1 to 4, 5 to 7, 8 to 17. Tribulation, problem. Tranquility, prayer. Triumph, peace. This is the flow of thought that we want to present before you. Verse 1 of our text says, now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. It is now 10 years since the crucifixion of Christ, but the sword of persecution has not stopped. Now we see that one of the leaders of the church, James, the brother of John, was arrested and killed. Our text tells us that he fell by the sword. He was beheaded. His head was chopped off. A terrible way to die. During the Japanese occupation, 1942 to 1945, there were many such beheadings. And inadvertently, we have memories of certain of our relatives who have disappeared during those times. Frightening ordeal. I hope you would be able to see the kind of precarious climate that the church was in during that time. Herod the king stretched forth his hands, the Bible says, to vex, to cause harm, to do evil, to injure. And our text tells us in verse 3, it did not stop there. Verse 3 says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And our text tells us it's during the time of the Passover that this took place. And so Peter was apprehended. He was put in prison, and there were many soldiers who were sent to guard him. So he was in high security prison. A quaternium speaks of four soldiers. So four quaternions, 16 soldiers, round the clock, 3-hour shifts, guarding. So he was chained in between guards, and he was in prison. Life was difficult. He was in a prison cell, dirty, smelly, cold, in chains. You recall, this was the man who watched Jesus after he was arrested, and he said, I don't know this man, Jesus. This is that Peter who is now imprisoned. This is that Peter who denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And now he has been called to be a witness for his master. And we want us to see the change that is in this man. He was no longer running away, running for his life, ashamed of Christ, but he was boldly submitting himself as a witness for Christ. So he was. This was the man Peter who is in prison. This is the man Peter whom Jesus restored. Remember, by the seaside of Galilee, Jesus said, lovest thou me, Simon Peter? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. 3 times the Lord said to him. Peter wept because he remembered how he was so weak to deny his Lord. This is a new man that we are seeing here in the prison cell. Wholly surrendered to the Lord in consecration and service. You know, sometimes we are a little bit judgmental. We see a Christian brother or sister in Christ growing in the faith, learning to walk with God, and they make mistakes. Well, Jesus was very patient with Peter. Jesus helped him, prayed for him, that his faith may be restored, that he may be strengthened. And so this is that Peter who is facing the greatest crisis in his life. And that's the word tribulation that we want us to consider in this text. The word means to be pressed. To be pressed to a breaking point. The Christian in an unchristian world faces many a tribulation. As you seek to walk with God, as you seek to obey His commandments, you are living in enemy territory, and you often face the onslaught of the enemy. And the tribulations of life can come in many forms. It can be a sickness. It can be a loss of job. It can be an estranged relationship with loved ones. It can be rebellious children. It can be unsaved loved ones. And as we think about the crisis situations in the believer's life, we want us to think and stretch our mind to see, right, in a moment of crisis in life, when you face difficulties, when problem comes, what do you do? Well, it's a time where you ponder and think, what struck you? Why am I in this predicament? Why do you suffer? Could it be chastisement from God? Is it a wake-up call to come back to God? Is it for your purification that you will be more conformed to the image of Christ? Is God preparing you for glory? As Peter is chained in between the soldiers, he must be thinking, what's next for my life? Paul says, for our light affliction, this affliction that we face in this life is but for a moment, but worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What was Peter doing there in that prison cell? Well, he was there as a witness to the eternal life that his Lord gives to all who put their faith and trust in him. This was the reason why he allowed himself to be imprisoned as a witness for the Lord. And what do we do during those times of tribulation when problem comes our way as believers? Our subsequent thought: tranquility, prayer. What did the church do when it was faced with a great crisis? Did they take up sword and begin to raid the prison cell? They did not. What were they doing? Well, they gathered themselves together to pray. They were taking time before the throne of grace to seek God's help. Verse 5 of our text says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Peter. What was the church doing? The church was praying. If you look at the history of the infant church, from the time Jesus was crucified, Jesus said to them, gather yourself together to pray that the power of God may come upon you. Then you would be witnesses for me. So it was the upper room scenario. The church came together to pray, and our text tells us that they prayed without ceasing. There was fervent there was intense prayer amongst the people of God during those time of persecution. They didn't know what to do, but they understood that God knew the Lord would be able to help. And therefore, they gathered themselves together and they sought the Lord. Now, this is the secret of strength for the believers in spiritual warfare. Martin Luther, the reformer, he gave this advice. His experience was this. He says, "The less I pray, the harder it gets. The more I pray, the better it goes." The church was made, or prayer was made, without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They were not discouraged and afraid. There was not doubt and losing of heart, but there was that gathering of the people of God in intercessory prayer. Dear friends, have you gone through, I'm sure many of us have gone through crisis in life. How did you go through those crises, those difficult times? I want to submit to you that it is by unceasing prayer. The tribulation is so great. If you stop praying, the doubts, the assailing, faithless thoughts come and attack your mind. And straight away you find yourself without strength, weak. But if you continue to tarry in prayer, continue to look to God, continue to seek the Lord, you find strength, you find peace, you find joy in your heart. Have you had that experience? Well, the Lord wants us to rekindle and understand the source of strength for the Christian. As we cleave to the Lord, as we cling to God, this is where we find strength to help. So what did the church do when it was faced with the greatest crisis? What do you do as a family, husband and wife, when you are faced with a crisis in your home? Come together and pray. Would God not help? Surely it would help. This is the testimony of the men of God in the Bible throughout church history. Men of God were men of prayer. They understood the enormity of their need and the inadequacy of their strength. Dear friends, prayer testifies to our faith in God. And because we realize our lack, our need, that's why we pray. It is an act of faith that we know we cannot make it. We need God's help. Well, for me, that was the beginning of spiritual life. When I realized that I cannot run my own life. I have no strength anymore. I can't move forward. That's where I learned to submit myself, surrender myself to God. And that's when help came. And the help that came through God by prayer never cease. from the time you start to put your faith in Jesus? Is that your experience? That must be our experience. This was the experience of the early church. They took time to pray. They prayed intensely. They prayed fervently. They prayed earnestly for Peter, that he may be protected from harm and danger. The experience of the church and the last words of Jesus to his disciples before his ascension is to wait upon God in prayer. And the Lord wants us to understand and see. Verse 6 of our text says, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night was Peter sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison." Now, it's very interesting. Now, you see two scenes that is being enacted here. One, the prayer meeting. The believers on their knees seeking God's help to protect Peter. And the other scene, you see Peter in prison. But what was he doing? Our text tells us that he was asleep. He was sleeping between two soldiers. How could it be? How could he be sleeping when he is facing the greatest crisis in his ministerial life? How could he sleep so soundly in that dirty prison? That's a thought that we want us to think about. How did that tranquility, that restfulness came to his heart? Well, if only men and women would take time to pray, that is where you would be able to find strength during those crises of life. But as we said during our Wednesday prayer meeting, that the world today is facing its greatest crisis. Right? We gave some statistics. We said that depression is going to be the number one global disease by 2030. Men and women facing difficulties in their life and having no solution. And the problem goes on in their mind, and it goes round, and it goes round, and you know, with no solution, 100 times, and before you know it, the mind surrenders itself, give up. And you see many in this world, and I have the statistics which I was sharing this on the Wednesday prayer meeting, estimated affected 350 million people. The World Mental Health Survey conducted in 17 countries found that on average, 1 in 20 people reported having episodes of depression in the previous year. And depressive disorders, is reported here, start at a young age. And they reduce people's functioning and are often recurring. And so this is a great what the World Health Organization report as a disease that would plague the people in this world. But if you see the people of God, when you are faced with crisis, what do you do? Well, Peter was one who learned how to be still before God. You recall in Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus was with his disciples in the Sea of Galilee, he asked them, "Come with me, let us board the boat." And they went into the boat, and when they were in the middle of the sea, suddenly a storm arose, and it threatened to sink the ship. And what was Jesus doing? Jesus was there, sleeping. They found Jesus asleep. So they all panicked. They all saw the wind. They all were in the midst of the crisis. But they saw how still their Lord is in the midst of crisis. This was a time for great learning. How is it that their master was able to compose himself when there was such a great storm before them? And Jesus and the disciples, our text tells us, woke him up and said, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he said to them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, our Lord Jesus, he was busy with ministry, but he often took time to pray, took time to rest. Rest time was a time of communion with the Lord, recharging. And during his earthly ministry, Jesus encouraged his disciples. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus encouraged his disciples to trust in the power of God in their lives, especially during crisis time. And Jesus, before he went to the cross, he gave them these words in John 16:33. "These things have I spoken unto you," he says, "that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So Jesus says that in me, you will have peace. In the world, you would have tribulation. You would be pressed to a breaking point. But if you were to look to me, you would find strength. If you were to look to me, you would find wisdom. You would find a solution. You find a way out. So the psalmist David says, "As for me, I will call upon God," Psalm 55, "and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud." Look at the intensity of his prayer. He would cry aloud. Look at the need that he had. "And he shall hear my voice. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me." He says, "For there were many with me. God will hear and afflict them, and that he that abideth of old." As we look to God in prayer, you find that God will give to you a peace, a strength, a calmness in your heart that you know not of. I often like to give this illustration. Some of you would have heard it. To illustrate the concept of Christian resting in God. Two painters, each painted us to paint the picture of rest. So the first painter, he drew a lake and behind mountains, and he says, this is peace, this is tranquility. And then another painter, he drew right in the middle of his canvas a waterfall, a violent waterfall. And then at the side of the waterfall, he drew a big tree. A big tree is a tree that has very weak branches. And the big tree comes right at the edge of the waterfall was a twig. And right at the edge of the twig was a nest. And right in the nest was a little robin. And the man who drew said this. The first only stagnation, but this second one is rest. For in rest, there are two elements, tranquility and energy, silence and turbulence, creation and destruction, fearfulness and fearlessness. Peter was there between the two guards. Precarious, any time you'll be the next to be beheaded. And yet, he could sleep so soundly. How the Lord had led this man. How God had been so nigh to him that he had that kind of presence of God in his heart. And the Lord wants us to have that kind of a strength in our heart. To know that come what may, whatever the situation, whatever the tribulation, there must be a sense of the presence and the power of God in your life. To know that this is not the end. God will see you through yet another impasse. That's what the Apostle Paul says. He that has begun a work, good work in you will persevere until he sees you through to the end. So there is not a situation in your life that God cannot help. And that's why you see the church in fervent prayer. The family, the members of the family, well, we must be in fervent prayer that God may be gracious to keep each one of its members. And verse 6 tells us, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And watch verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Wow. Do you know that you serve a supernatural God? The power of God is still with us today to deliver His people, to help you in your need. This is a visual picture of the power, presence of God in the life of His people. And we must rehearse these so that our faith may be strengthened. So that in times of crisis, In those times of tribulation, when problem comes, when you are frightened, what do? You look to God. There is a tranquility. There is a peace that God gives to your heart. As you tarry with the Lord in prayer, Peter must be praying there while he was bound in those two chains. He must be praying, seeking the presence of God to steel his heart. And indeed, God was there at the right time. An angel was sent. The third thought, triumph. Great peace came. Verse 8 says, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. Put on your clothes. Wear your shoes. It's time to escape. Time to run. Follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Too good to believe. Oftentimes, we don't believe that God has that power to solve the problems that we have. It's only when we look back in life, in time. Do you take notes of your prayer before God? If you have a prayer, do you take time to put it down in words? Perhaps in your diary, perhaps somewhere you have your own prayer book. And when God answers your prayer, do you write down the statement of thanksgiving for what God had done for you? In a Christian's life, you would find that there will be many, many such moments when you pray and God answered your prayer. And God doesn't want you to just forget what he has done for you. He wants you to recall, recount his blessings upon you. And so, as we go through life, walking with God, trusting him, you would have many good memories of answered prayer, of what God had done for you in your life. We must not forget, and it must encourage us to continue to look to God. For Peter, this is still not the greatest crisis. He's going to escape. But you notice that, you know, in our text that you would not hear much of Peter anymore after this. You would hear of him in Acts 15 during the Jerusalem Council. But with that escape, you'll find that the book of Acts did not record very much Peter's life. This is like the highlight, the high point in his walk with God. God delivered him during the moment of his crisis. And it is during those time of crisis that God's people oftentimes crumble for fear. And we fail to look to God. We fail to trust in God. And the Lord wants us to renew our faith in him, that he may take away the fear in our hearts. And I often like to turn God's people to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And it says here, the Psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh,
they stumbled and fell.
This must be Peter's testimony after he escaped from prison. Right? No way he could escape. Four quartonians, 16 soldiers taking turns to guard him, chained. How many doors that God had to open in order for him to escape from the prison? So many of them, as you read. But each one of them, right, miraculously, the door opened. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in that will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock, and my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Well, this was Peter's experience. Verse 11 of our text says, and when Peter came to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Peter saw the power of God in action. Jesus is no longer with him, but his presence and power continue to manifest itself as he has promised. One late pastor, he made this observation. He says, indeed, the Great Commission seemed to be a mission impossible. But this is not the situation when Jesus gave it. Jesus said, all power, authority, and dominion is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And the Bible tells us that dominion was first given to man. But man gave it over to the devil in the Garden of Eden. Jesus received it back from the Father and gave the authority to each one of us. When he said, it is finished, upon the cross. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. So Jesus said to his disciples while he sent them out, he says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt thee. This was Peter's experience. So he was brought all the way to the praying saints at the home of Mary. He knocked. And he knocked again. Someone opened the door. Couldn't believe that it was Peter. Peter showed himself alive. Indeed, God was good. God delivered during that time of need. Tribulation, problem. Tranquility, prayer. Triumph, peace. God wants us to live this Christian life triumphantly. He doesn't want us to be lost in depression, in self-pity, but he wants us to experience the power of God as we submit to God and his authority in our lives. May the Lord bless his people. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy mercy. Thank thee for this account of the power of God in delivering Peter from prison. Indeed, this is the same God who gives the commission
for us today to triumph in that same power. Oh God, I pray that Thou would send forth Thy people to do Thy bidding for Thy honor and glory. And this I pray in thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.